Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. Even I put the purple lights up here on Camden Yards. They'll be turning the lights out around there. They turned the lights out on this guy and a lot of folks over in the East Bay. I was very disheartened. I'm the only guy getting on a plane upset about going to Las Vegas here this weekend to watch the Raiders play. This guy began covering the Raiders a number of years ago in the East Bay. He has made the pilgrimage to covering all things Raiders and beyond that, the division with the Athletic. He is the state of the nation. I love that, man. If I wish I had a clever name for my podcast. I don't have a podcast. I just sort of do these things. Jimmy Durkin here from the Athletic. You follow him at Jimmy_Durkin. You in Vegas or are you like in Oakland? Where are you? I mean, I feel like all of you Raider types were displaced through all of this, like displaced children, kind of like when Ursay left me here back in 84.
Yeah, I'm still in the Bay Area. You know, looking forward to flying out and checking out this this opener against the Ravens. I mean, it's going to be fun to finally see a game in that new stadium with fans. I didn't go at all last season. You know, with no fans there, no environment really. It didn't feel like I really needed to get on the plane and hop over there. But yeah, going to be there for this one. I mean, this is going to be a fun game, I think, just to see what the environment is finally like. And you know, it's tough having the Raiders not in the Bay Area anymore, but having been to the Coliseum all these years, the place was obviously dated. It was time to go. And for the Raiders, they've never really had a true home. Now they do finally have one, and we'll see how successful they can be in Vegas.
So you haven't set foot in the stadium? Like, you're seeing it for the first time like I am.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be a new experience.
Yeah. I had JT the Brick on. He was out there last year. You know, I've been at this for 26 years. And you know, other than when my wife was battling cancer a couple of times, I've been to every road game. I've been on all these trips. I never really thought much about getting on a plane and going to Las Vegas. Kind of broke my heart going to Carson a couple of years ago. I actually flew into San Diego and stayed there 3 days and then went up to Carson. This is a different kind of trip in a lot of ways. I mean, last year I went to 3 games. I flew to Houston in a completely empty stadium with a mask on the roof, and I found it to be something that I didn't need to do 8 times, something that I didn't want on my permanent record in the, you know, recollection of my memory of how weird all of it was. Yet this feels like it's going to be weird too, right? I mean, full's going to feel weird. I've been to some concerts lately. I saw the Eagles in a pretty full hockey rink down in DC last week, not the Philadelphia Eagles, the, you know, Don Henley. You know, by the way, Vince Gill, way to go. I mean, come on now. Eagles were great last week. I'm flying in late. Things are expensive. Vaccine. The only one in there not vaccinated is probably Lamar, right? Like, all of this has a little surreal quality, but I think from a football perspective, even more so, I have no idea what this is going to look like for the Ravens offense, being that we haven't seen it, and how this game's going to be competitive. I mean, I think Vegas likes the Ravens on reputation. Okay, I need to see the Ravens play football on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, for the Raiders, they're such a mystery because they don't play their starters in the preseason. Derek Carr in that offense didn't play at all. They've got a completely rebuilt, you know, almost completely rebuilt offensive line, you know, with a rookie right tackle, a center who's only made one career start. They think they're going to be good, but we don't really know. And I mean, with the Raiders, their offense has not been a problem over the last 4 or 5 years. It's always comes down to what this defense is. And I mean, you think Yannick Ngakoue is going to help them? You think that Gus Bradley's simplified defense is going to help them? You think Casey Hayward on the outside of corner is going to help them with a veteran? You think KJ Wright, who they just brought in and are getting acclimated, is going to help them? But you don't know because you haven't seen this group play out there. And the way their defense is lined up, you have real question marks about if they're going to be able to stop the run. And we know how well Baltimore has always been able to run the ball. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing is does this Raiders defense look competent? And we just don't know until we haven't seen a competent defense around the Raiders in a long time.
Well, they might be competent, just not against the run, right? I mean, the Ravens will bring a different kind of heat historically. That being said, we haven't seen the Ravens offense at all. Running back goes out, tears his knee up. The wide receiver can't get on the field. Several of the wide receivers have not been able to get on the field during August. And yet, I'm marching out to Vegas on Sunday night thinking we're going to see some sort of purple symphony, you know, of run left, run right, zig right, throw left. I mean, they gave Andrews $56 million this week. So the building continues. But going into this, the Ravens have such high expectations, right? 25 wins the last couple of years. Like, they're expected to win, I don't know, is it 10, 11, 12? I don't know what the benchmark is anymore. I know nobody can go 8-8 anymore, right? So yeah. That's how dystopian this has become, that you can't even be mediocre anymore. But the Raiders are thought to be sort of dangling at this point. And I'm guessing that, you know, Gruden, for the Raiders fan base, the honeymoon is over for him, even though there's some sort of honeymoon in Vegas. But as I said to someone else this week, a 1-5 start this year, this has to go well now, right? I mean, all the training wheels are off of this. He selected Carr. They got to be a playoff team this year. And that means they have to stop Lamar Jackson Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, year four, not many coaches get to year four without having made the playoffs. And, you know, he took over a team that he didn't like, but I don't think it was as bad as he thought it was.
Jack loved it, by the way. Jack loved that team.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Del Rio's final season there went sideways. And, you know, but if it weren't for John Gruden wanting to unretire, Del Rio still has that job. They weren't ready to fire him just because of how that his last season there went.
You know, what's amazing, dude, Jack and I are like lifers, right? Like we're in the blood together from the 01 team. And he and I were together at a cocktail party the night that they moved the franchise. We were at the Biltmore. He was the coach of the Raiders at the time. And I remember talking to him, you know, about players and this and that. And I remember him saying to me, you know, the franchise is moving and there's going to be this. And he was in the East Bay, right? So, you know, he's understood what all that represented. And he's like, the players on the team, like, you're just trying to make sure you get to Vegas to kick the ball. And then lo and behold, I mean, he's so 3 years gone, you know, like how far it is that it's really been. I know they played there last year, sort of, kind of, whatever, but this is really the beginning of the beginning and how fast things move through organizations. And to your point, it feels like Gruden just got there. Gruden's already collected $40 million, right? Like literally, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's 4 years into that huge deal. I've always thought, you know, I know a lot of people want to say that he's got to make the playoffs this year or else they're firing him. I don't think that's going to happen. I've always thought he gets at least 5 years out. I mean, you got to realize how obsessed Mark Davis was with John Gruden and how much of a coup this was, you know, in Mark Davis's mind, at least, to finally land him. I mean, he spent years and years and years trying to get him. But I mean, you can't, you know, you go 4-12, 7-9, 8-8. You've got to keep moving your way up. And they've started seasons well, you know, gotten to 6-4, 6-3, and then not been able to finish. You know, they showed last year. I mean, they were able to beat the Saints at home on Monday night. They beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. They almost beat the Chiefs at home. But otherwise, I mean, outside of beating the Saints, they go 1-6 the rest of the way in their brand new stadium. At least they didn't have fans to disappoint, but they were terrible at home last year. And, you know, you can blame that on, okay, you didn't have a home field advantage. I don't know, but you go 6-2 on the road, just shows how up and down of a team they are, that it's time for them to make that next step. You look at their roster and there's not really reasons to think that they've made huge gains forward. I mean, it's all based on the offense hopefully being almost as good as it was last year, which is no guarantee with that rebuilt line, and the defense making at least some mild improvement. They have to be middle of the pack, you figure, defensively, for them to really even challenge for a playoff spot.
Well, I mean, despite the Ravens' issues with running back and the injury to Dobbins and Bateman not getting on the field, at least for the first month or so, there's plenty to recommend the Ravens, right? They went out, they made these moves, Villanueva to the other side. They got Zeitler trying to figure out how to replace Marshall Yanda after all these years. Defensively, they've been stellar in what Winks wanted to do. I don't know if they're going to have that kind of pass rush, but certainly respected on the back end. Patrick Queen looks like a nice player. You know, they've managed to recruit the Calais Campbell types to come in and be a part of this because they all feel like there's going to be January football, right? Like the benchmark here is winning games in January, not getting there. I think it's a whole different level for where the Raiders are, but also what the Chiefs now are and what the Chargers sort of think they're going to be at this point in the division. This is sort of a treacherous game on both sides because both these teams think they're going to win. Somebody's going to wake up with their feelings hurt on Tuesday, and we got to play the Chiefs here next week, right? So, and they're sort of the kryptonite for the Ravens. Man, a loss for the Ravens on Monday could really get weird. I always feel like Gruden's got rope out there, and I feel like that franchise has some rope to withstand it to lose, but to not play well on Monday night to start the season would be very, very devastating for all the money. I mean, I had Brick on. Oh, my God, this is a $2,000 this and a $5,000 that. I said, you know, how much is a beer going to cost underneath of this Al Davis torch thing? You know, I paid $18 for a beer last month. I am ready to be sticker shocked and awe and dumbstruck by all of it, like the first time I saw the Luxor back in 94, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be, I hope that they figured out some of the issues. I know there was I think WrestleMania was there a few weeks ago, and I guess that was a night where there was a country nationwide credit card outage, and they're cashless, and so they couldn't, the concession stands weren't working because they couldn't take credit cards. And I don't know, there were some reports on Twitter of toilets overflowing, and so hopefully all those issues have been worked out, and you know, they have had they did have one preseason game there with fans, I'm interested to see what's going to be like just even getting into the stadium. You know, they do have the vaccine requirement as an indoor stadium, and they're having everybody do the Clear app to show that they're vaccinated. But you figure that it's going to be the first time piling, you know, 65,000 into there. It's going to take some kinks getting worked out. But I mean, the Raiders, if they don't come out and play well in front of their first time really playing in front of fans in a regular season game, after they played so poorly at home last year, it would be quite a disappointment. But they do have some optimism. You know, I think the one of the guys that you get excited about a little bit is Trayvon Moehrig, their second round safety, who was a guy that most pegged as the top safety in the draft and a likely first rounder. He fell to them in the second round because of a concern about a back injury. And that hasn't cropped up since he's been there. And he's looked like a guy who can really be that true center fielder that they need in that defense. And so if they can find a young key piece, you look at all the guys they've drafted in the secondary early on the last few years, you know, Jonathan Abram, they thought was going to be their tone setting safety. And he just hasn't really, you know, been that guy yet. But if Merrick can be the guy as their free safety, that would be huge because they need some young pieces that can start looking like stars.
Jimmy Durkin is here. He is the NFL senior editor at The Athletic. You can subscribe there. Jeb Zrebeck would be appreciative of that, as well as all of our friends who've sought refuge at The Athletic, and Ken Rosenthal. We're having a Baltimore sports journalism reunion next weekend with a bunch of folks that have gone your way. Get, you know, peel back the onion, play sports reporter for me on the show now. I haven't touched a football player in a year and a half, right? After doing this professionally for much of my adulthood, and writing books about it and traveling to Wembley and here and there and training camps and all of that stuff, doing live shows, all of it sort of stops. I don't know where it turns on or turns off. My franchise didn't move to Indianapolis this time or come from Cleveland this time. You've been in the middle of all of this. I even looked up like my buddy Michael Galkin. I'm like, where's he? Oh, Dallas. You know, like I'm seeing people just move, right? Who covered beats and were around teams. And that's what happens when franchises get uprooted. Give me a little Athletic view and certainly, you know, pimp away and subscribe and all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when they moved, you know, it was an adjustment for everybody. And we've got Vic Tafer, who's been covering the Raiders for so long and does such a great job. And, it's kind of allowed him to, you know, he last year was weird, right? Because of the pandemic, there wasn't a whole lot of point in being there all the time. So he was able to kind of float back and forth.
Dude, I flew to Houston. I sat on the roof and I wonder, what the hell am I doing here? Like literally. Then I drove to DC and I drove to Philly because those were the games we played. And I'm like, Yeah, I, you know, I've been doing this for like for a living since 1984. This is just might as well be on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have beer near me in the bathroom and my cat. And when it's over in the rain in New England and you get your ass kicked, you turn it off. Like I felt a strange parachuting from it. And I've been doing it since you were a young one, you know. I don't know about turning it back on, but I know getting near the players again, that may be over forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I went to the Raiders preseason game here when they played the 49ers, and, it was kind of different to actually finally at least be in an interview room, and the guy walks in and you can have a little bit of interpersonal banter as he kind of walks in and says hi before they, you know, get to the formality of the podium stage. So yeah, it is a completely different experience just not having, there's a lot of, you know, debate about, you know, should reporters be in the locker room and whatnot. And, you know, obviously reporters argue for it. And I think one of the benefits of it is that a lot of times, especially during the week, it's a great time to just talk, just shoot the stuff with all these different players and really get to know these guys. And that's how you kind of find out so much more about them. And yeah, like you said, that's probably gone, but, you know, luckily we've got some great people here that, you know, are able to still cover this team really well. I mean, between Ted Nguyen and his, all of his film breakdown and, you know, Tashawn Reeves, our new beat writer that's based in Vegas and is there every day. And, the two of them, along with Vic Tafer and I, we host the Raiders podcast and, you know, have a lot of fun doing it and looking forward to all being there on Monday and, you know, and all being there at this game and being able to just see what this team looks like and what this stadium looks like.
As long as they have tacos and beer, I'm in for Vegas for 48 hours. Jimmy Durkin can be followed at The Athletic. You can follow him at Jimmy_Durkin. That's D-U-R-K-I-N. So you host the State of the Nation. What is the state of the Raider Nation right now? Give me a little look at this, because when tickets are $500, our fans were like, ah, Vegas. And then they were like, oh, first game ever. Yeah, they want to be there too. You know, I call it out to a couple of places about throwing parties back when I thought like people would actually take the vaccine. What did I know? And thinking like we'd be gathering and like in pools together and doing stupid stuff like that. Nobody out there wanted Ravens fan, because it's just sort of like, yeah, we're Vegas. It's the Raiders. It's the first weekend. It, you know, Brick tells me the biggest sporting event in the history of Vegas up there with Ali fights and Spinks and like all of that kind of stuff. Right. I don't know where to put that, but I do know you can't get a ticket. And a lot of Ravens fans have sort of balked at it because they've been priced out. And I would think from a Raider state of the nation, everybody thought, oh, we're going to move the team to Vegas. We'll just go. And really proved to be that easy, I would think.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people just decided like, ah, you know what, I'm not going to buy season tickets for Vegas. I'll pick a game or two a year and go. And they did that based on kind of thinking about what it had been like in Oakland, where, you know, whenever you wanted to, you could go on and buy an aftermarket ticket and you're not going to pay an arm and a leg. Now those people are probably wishing that they had jumped on board the season ticket trade and still just say, I'm going to go for one or two games and sell the rest, because that would probably pay off the rest of your season. And
as so, well, yeah, as their, I mean, mortgage.
Yeah. I mean, this first year is obvious. It's going to be pricey. I think if you're a Raider fan who paid all that money for it, you know, so, some of them are just going to be like, hey, I got to get my money back. Some are going to be, I have to be there. You know, there is concern, of course, a city like Vegas that it will have games where, you know, they're the opposing fans do take over quite a bit. Cause I mean, when you're talking about where do you want to go for, you know, flying on a Friday night, go to an NFL game on Sunday and fly home Monday morning, not many better places to go than Vegas. When you can, you know, head to the stadium and the strip is just a hop, skip and a jump away. So,
even a guy in the East Bay has been Stockholmed into believing Vegas was a better home for them.
I mean, I would sure much rather hop in my car and drive 20 minutes to the stadium, but they need a new stadium, that's for sure. And you know, they've got their palace, they've got their, you know, big headquarters out in Henderson, and we'll see. I mean, they, you know, for so long, part of the Raiders' issue has been they don't have the cash flow to do a lot of the things that other teams that have owners that have outside interests. You know, the Davis family has always been, the Raiders have been their one business. And so they don't have a ton of outside income. We'll see if this stadium, once they kind of recover from last year without hosting any fans, once they can start making some money, if this can be something that can help, you know, jumpstart this franchise.
Jimmy Durkin here, covering all things Raiders and the AFC West. And we got the Chiefs next week, right? So like, this is for the Ravens, the expectation that they could be 2-0, and Patrick Mahomes has been the kryptonite for them and all that. You know, this is a shotgun start for everybody, right? I mean, a lot of feelings get hurt and a lot of seasons get wrecked. By like next Tuesday morning, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the Raiders, they started out they're at home against the Ravens on the Monday night, and then short week, go to Pittsburgh, face the Steelers.
Well, they want a better win there for our sake.
Yeah.
I'll be a big Raider fan in week two.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a scary start. I mean, if they start 0-2, and then I think they got the Dolphins at home in week three, we'll see what Tua's doing. Yeah, they've got to get off to a good start, because we know the Chiefs are not going anywhere. They're going to give everybody problems. You referenced earlier the Chargers with Justin Herbert. I mean, he's looks like he could be the next guy that really takes off, as a young NFL quarterback. And they're, I think, really optimistic about their defense. You know, they stole Brandon Staley over from the Rams. He did such a great job there. And then the Broncos make it a tough division as well. I mean, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, that offense. Yeah. You know, you don't know what they're going to be. You're not really all that excited, even though they do have some good pieces outside of quarterback. But the way that defense, Vic Fangio has built them, and the guys that they've added in the offseason, the Broncos are going to be really tough to score against. And so, I mean, if the Raiders, if they can't get off to a good start, you know, they were second place in the division last year. They went 4-2 in the division last year. But if they don't get off to a strong start, you know, they're in danger of being a last place team, just because I think this division has elevated itself around them. And I don't know that they've made enough, steps forward for themselves.
Jimmy Durkin here. Follow him and all of his cohorts, including Vic Tafer and the other crew on the Raiders beat, and Jeff Zrebeck as well, headed out to Las Vegas on Monday night, wearing the mask and vaxxed up and kicking off the season the right way. Really appreciate the visit, man. Thanks for stopping by. And I little piece of my heart always in the black hole out there, man, from old Orioles A's games. I was there for the crotch chop, Johnny Damon Red Sox game, and Saragusa burying my man Rich Gannon. So I'll be telling some stories of Rod Woodson and Amy Trask later on this week. But I just will say, I am the guy that always wanted the Raiders to stay in Oakland.
Yeah, unfortunately, the final image of Raiders football at the Coliseum was losing to Gardner Minshew and fans throwing nachos and cookies at Derek Carr as he tried to say goodbye to them in the end zone near the black hole. Was not the most glorious exit in the finale there.
You know, I'm trying to think of my glorious exit. I think it involved tequila and an A's game. I think. I'll check with Julio Bermejo on that over at Tommy's Mexican. Jimmy Durkin joining us here from the East Bay. I get to the West Bay to East Bay. I'm holding Pearl Jam tickets. Two nights in Oakland. Let's get through this plague. I'm coming home to the East Bay. I'm coming to Vegas on Monday night for a football game. I'm excited about that too. Luke's at Knowings Mills. You can follow all that Luke does at Baltimore Luke. All of brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, like that Eastern Shore chicken was last week on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.